Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from thedraftnetwork.com here to talk. We'll continue talking edge defenders, Trevor, but I didn't know if you'd heard that we just moved up the list of iconic duos in world history because a great iconic duo was broken up today when DeMar DeRozan got traded to the Spurs and left his good pal, Kyle Lowry.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Good for us. Good for Toronto because DeRozan's trash. So,
you're gonna have to recuse yourself from the podcast today, my friend. I think for
we're speaking facts.
Like that.
Yeah, facts.
Well, wow. Here,
can't even talk facts on here.
Listen.
Yeah,
DeRozan could not handle LeBron. I'll admit it straight up. And it
mentally.
Look at Captain America and Thanos. Still a great superhero. Could not handle Thanos.
You know
if
what?
LeBron ain't Thanos. I don't know who is.
And you know what?
That was DeRozan, man. Like, but I would, other than that, he was a great player.
Hey, you know, regular season's fun.
Not even regular season. He was good in the postseason, even. Especially this year until he ran those last two games against the Cavs when they needed him to be great in game three. He was terrible.
And then the chance for him to be mentally great 2 years in a row, he folded like a cheap lawn chair because it's one of my favorite old-time sayings.
It is a great old-time saying. Well done. I'm offended that you used it to describe DeRozan, but I agree that in clutch moments, he definitely wasn't what they needed him to be. Would it have mattered? No, because LeBron's LeBron. So at the end of the day, that is the story more than anything else. And I'm excited to see what DeRozan does in San Antonio. I don't really understand the trade for the Raptors. I guess they're because I don't think Cowie has any. There's no chance he's signing there long term.
And if it's because they wanted to get rid of him.
It's because they want to rebuild, but the East is bad. So even if you didn't think DeRozan was good, there's no way
you could
argue that the Raptors couldn't have been good in the East. They definitely could have been. They could have been one of the best teams. They could have been in the finals. And yeah, nobody in the East has beaten the Warriors in the finals. So.
Yeah, well, this isn't the Raptors are going to be good in the East podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, is it?
It could be, but it's not now because they traded away their best player. So now it is the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Just changed and then changed back. And we're going to talk about a couple edge guys that we watched. Who do you want to start with? We watched a ton of different guys.
I wasn't really impressed
with anybody. Well, one guy.
We can just start with the guy that we liked.
Yeah.
Anthony Jennings, right?
Jennings was the best guy we watched, I thought. We watched Sutton Smith, Anthony Jennings, Josh Allen from Kentucky, C.C. Jefferson from Florida, Austin Bryant from Clemson, Marlon Davidson from Auburn. And I just thought Jennings looked like he could actually play in the league and I wouldn't be worried about him starting. I did not necessarily see like a super high upside guy, but whenever I've watched Alabama, I always thought this guy like handles his crap. Like you don't have to worry about him being a liability in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Size, speed, strength. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, I didn't think he was a freak.
Right.
I thought he had the combination of all of that. And Alabama goes up against a lot of option offenses, I've noticed after watching a lot of this tape. And as the D-end, he's normally the guy who's either got a collapse or contain. And it seemed like I don't want to say guess because he was right most of the time, was making a lot of tackles in the backfield, not being fooled by option offenses. So I've got to think that his mental processing is pretty quick to be able to read and react in the backfield. So
right. He just handles his crap. Like that's my
thing. Like, yeah. No, I'm with you. He's that was a good way to say that. I don't think he's a freak one way or the other. But he is in no way a liability. And I do think that this guy is a potential. He's a future starter in the NFL. So
right. Probably not a day one guy. Right. I did not get a round one vibe from him. You think that's fair?
Depends, I guess, obviously depends on the class, but I hate saying that. It's like a cop-out. But no, I don't know. Anthony Jennings is a guy who might be a late day one guy. I don't know. I'm going to say that.
All right. I like Anthony Jennings. I'll leave the door open, but I got to see. He's going to play a lot more this year, too. That's going to be the big thing. And so this will be the best year to evaluate him. Sutton Smith. This is our boy John Ownings guy. John's coming on the show Friday. He's going to want to talk up Sutton Smith. He already argued with me this morning on Twitter about it. I don't know, man. Like, Yes, he embarrassed Nebraska's tackles, and his production's crazy. He had 30 tackles for loss and 14 sacks last year. He does tend to just kind of fly straight up field, so he's gonna, some of that's going to happen as a result of that. You know, when you talk about a guy like Sutton Smith, I think you have to look at the production and look at the tape, but traits really do matter. And he's 5'11", 6', 220, listed 225. I don't even know if he's that. He honestly looks like a safety. And he doesn't take guys straight on. The power's definitely an issue. He can get engulfed at times. Quick-footed, but I don't know that he's really explosive off the snap. I just don't know if I see any traits. The size, the length, the pass rush athleticism I think that you need, I don't know if I see those things with him.
I think I'm a little bit higher on him than you are in
like
terms
of... Like top 100 high? Like you think?
No. All right. Can I finish my sentence, please?
Sorry. Yes, finish it. It's all probably right. Going to be bad, but good.
I think he's better than Nick Bosa. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm higher on his traits than you seem to be. But at the end of the day, he's probably playing at like 220, like in between 220 and 225. He might be 6 feet tall. I think he's probably 6 feet tall. But I don't know what to do with that. Because if he's in the SEC or a bigger conference in general, ACC, whatever you want to call it, he's playing linebacker. Right. Like,
yeah.
They're not even putting this dude on the edge. And so I think his tape is really fun. You know, he had 30 tackles for loss last year, 14 sacks. Gets hyped up about every single potential defensive play, which is great.
Yep.
I actually think that he has a great game plan against a lot of these different offensive tackles, because you'll see him start a game with speed, you know, beating people around the outside, maybe getting a tackle for loss or at least some disruption with speed on the outside. And then he almost seems to know exactly when to pull out the counter card to really like pull the rug out from underneath an offensive lineman who thinks he's going around the edge or something like that. And so I actually thought that he had good game plans for how he was going to rush the passer. I think that went into his production. I think he had a good inside move. I think he can jump in between gaps off the snap. But again, that kind of goes to his smaller frame. It's easier for him to do that. I didn't think he was too much of a liability at that size as an edge presence, like setting the edge in the run. But again, I'm looking at the teams that he kind of went up against, and I got to think that if the competition was better, if the offensive lines were better, and even the help from the tight ends and running backs, I got to think that the size would eventually come up to him and get bullied a little bit. And so all that to say, I think I'm a little bit higher than him than you are, but there is still that massive, what do you do with a defensive end who weighs less than 230 pounds? You know? Yeah.
I don't know.
I like his tape and it's fun.
And I don't even know that the frame is there. To the league. I don't know if he can get bigger. I don't know how much, like, he looks pretty maxed out. There's just not a lot to work with there. And yeah, he does have a plan of attack, but he does rely on that stutter step, Carl Lawson move that Lawson loved in college, that stutter step, hand swipe, and then win the edge a little bit, you know. But he's not as explosive and not as powerful as Lawson. It's hard to kind of find where is Sutton Smith going to win in the NFL. I mean, he is shorter, so he does, when you have those big long tackles who can't move, those tall guys, he does kind of run under their punches a little bit easier around the edge. But I don't think he's like a super bendy guy or anything like that. I don't know. I don't know if the traits are there. I think he's going to be a really fun college player, probably going to have great production again this year, but he probably moves to linebacker in the NFL and probably is a backup special teams guy in that regard. So I don't know. We'll see. It'll be fun to at least watch him this season one more year in college. Josh Allen, Kentucky Josh Allen. I can safely say Wyoming.
Oh, God, triggered.
Wyoming Josh Allen is definitely better than Kentucky Josh Allen. And I wasn't a big Wyoming Josh Allen fan. Should that just tell you where I'm going with this one? I was not impressed with Josh Allen from Kentucky at all.
I mean, he did a lot of work. He's like, so Kentucky runs a lot of their 3-4 stuff, and they have their outside linebackers drop back, it seems, as often as they pass rush. And so half of the Josh Allen tape that I watched, he's dropping back into coverage, and I guess he's fine, whatever. But then when they're asking him to rush the passer, it's just not there. No. So,
yeah, not explosive. You know, takes a while to get to top speed. No pass rush plan at all. No counters. Yeah, no counters, no hand. Yeah, when he gets locked up, it's game over. Plays really high.
He's a linebacker. He's not a pass rusher.
Yes, I agree. You got to move him off the ball, and then you got to hope his mental processing comes along. But definitely a project. A decent athlete.
I don't even know if he's a. I don't even know if I'd say a project. I don't know what to make of him.
Well, he'd be a project moving off the ball. I mean.
Oh.
I think I don't think there's much hope for him as a pass rusher. But it's a bummer because he has great size and length.
He does,
and I think he will run well in the 40. But I don't. He does. Like I saw a couple opportunities.
Okay, I don't.
You don't think he'll run well?
No.
Maybe not. I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess if I'm thinking for an edge defender, but if you're moving him to linebacker, you know, I don't think he's. You know, I don't. He chased down a couple guys. I think he runs in the 4.7s.
Okay. So that's not all right.
Great. For an edge guy, that would be pretty solid. But again, he's lighter too. What's his weight again?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm pulling it up. Hang on.
You know where I could find out that information?
Yeah. The Draft Network.
I believe the Draft Network.
Yeah.
Why don't you open up the stupid website?
Website doesn't launch until August 6th, Trevor. But.
The people are clamoring for it already.
I have the information going into the website right now, and it says that Josh Allen is 6'4", 230. And the main reason why I'm happy that he's in this class is because we get to say Josh Allen for another year. That's why I'm really excited.
I don't think that's a reason for me to be excited, but go on.
No, it is. It definitely is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see much there. I was kind of like, man, probably should have watched somebody else other than him.
I'm curious to hear what you have to say about CC Jefferson, because as a Florida grad, I have watched every snap that CC has played as a Florida Gator, and I want to hear what your thoughts are first as an outsider.
I think that he plays really hard. He's got a pretty decent first step, and he's very physical, but there is not a lot there moves-wise. He comes up really high as a pass rusher. A lot of surface area exposed, not a bendy guy whatsoever. And what's his weight? I mean, I thought he was bigger than what he's listed at. He's listed, let me go back again to the database of information that the Draft Network will be providing you. He's listed at 6'1", 242. Is that right?
I think no.
He looks taller than that to me.
Somebody's lying.
You think he's taller than 6'1"?
Yeah, somebody's lying.
Yeah, I thought he looked like he was 6'3 to me. That's a weird. Anyway, we'll see. Normally, guys are listed taller than they are, not shorter, and especially not a couple inches shorter. But we'll see. Anyway, I think that, you know, for that size, which isn't great or anything, you know, I thought that he held his own a little bit, you know, well in the run game. His pad level definitely drops in the run game, I think. He looks like a guy that can be
listed at Florida. At Florida, he's listed at 6'1", 260.
So NFL Draft Scout has him 18 pounds off of that, but still 6'1".
Yeah.
Huh. Well, his weigh-in will be interesting. I think he's probably closer to 260, but probably somewhere between that makes sense to me. But I think that this is the role I think I see for CeCe. Backup, late round, he's going to be like a
pizza franchise.
Day three, what's that?
Pizza franchise.
Actually, yes.
What a sponsorship opportunity, am I right?
That idea may be taken already, but if football doesn't pan out, you can always look into that. But if it does pan out, I think you're going to see CeCe as a rotational interior rusher who needs a year or two to get his moves down. I think him rushing on a linear path makes a lot more sense than him coming off the edge.
No, I'm with you.
I think he's a long and late downs inside rusher who's a backup who's going to have to work his way into a rotation. I don't think it's going to be given to him right away.
You can check the receipts and or ask the people over at SB Nation's Alligator Army. When CC came into Florida his freshman year, I said, this is a defensive tackle. And I have said for the longest time, I want CC to put on weight, be in the 270s or whatever.
He needs to eat pizza.
And there you go, and play defensive tackle, because I'm with you. I have never seen Ben from CC Jefferson ever. But the things that you say are correct. He's explosive. like in a really short area with his first step, I think. I think he works hard, and I think his strength, like bull rushing, is much more effective than any other move that he has or has tried to show. And I don't know why they continue to want him to be an edge player when I think he's clearly better inside, but maybe they don't want him to gain that kind of weight. Maybe they want him to set an edge better.
Maybe they don't have any other edge players, do they? Inform us. There's a couple other guys on my watch list. Now. Who's their guy? They have
Zuniga and Clayton.
Clayton? Okay, so those are your two guys, huh? Are either of them exciting? I don't know. I have them on my list, but
they're supposed to be. Zuniga flashes every now and then, but
what about what's his name? Is there a Polite? Is Polite there?
Oh, Ja'Kai, yeah. But he's inside. He's an interior.
Okay,
dude.
He's an interior. He's 6'2", 260 is listed.
He's my boy. Huh. I love Ja'Kai.
Okay. All right, so they got some guys.
So, I don't know, but that is the thing with CeCe. I think calling him an edge player is going to be a sucky eval for him because you're just going to see so many limitations. Whereas if you look at him, I think you put it a good way there. He's a rotational defensive line piece. And we're seeing defensive lines around the NFL get more and more creative of how they use guys, how they bring them in to rotate, what they do with them. And I think that if CeCe goes to the right team truly as like a one of that like second unit in and be able to kind of get creative with how you play him inside out, whatever, I think he can have success there. I don't really see a starter with CeCe just because of the limitations that he had, especially just not at edge. The game's too fast and strong for him. And if he doesn't flash it now in college, then how am I going to see him take that massive of a jump in the NFL? I don't really see that. So those are my thoughts on him.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Austin Bryant is an unusual player. He plays on Clemson's D-line, so just really because of that and because he's not a terrible college player, people have floated around first round for him.
Oh, my God, no.
That is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. I've gone so far as to say
that can't
I
wait think, to hear the narrative on the broadcast that it's a defensive line that could all go in the first round.
Right.
And can't none of them wait. Will. Can't wait.
It already has happened. It's already happened. We're going to hear it again this year more and more because they all came back. And you know, you come back to school and you're obviously
they all came back
going
go the first round together. Yeah. And I flip over the coffee table with the chips and dip on it and it goes everywhere. And then I got to clean it up. But even though I'm mad, so it's their fault.
Doesn't matter. You're probably only missing a Florida game anyway, and there nothing interesting's gonna happen there. But I will say this about Austin Bryant: I think his first step is pretty good.
Like when he was a baby, like his first step.
You're not gonna give him any positives, are you? I was trying to be nice. I mean, he's about as stiff in the hips as you can possibly have a guy be. Like he got optioned off of all day in some of their games. I mean, it just was constant. He's the weak link.
He's a slow mover. That's it.
He is.
He's a slow mover.
He plays super hard and super physical.
Right, and play defensive players on Clemson do that. Yeah. Like, they play hard. And right. He's a dude who plays hard, and he works well with that defensive line, and he can have production, and that's fine. But, again, we're doing projections to the NFL, and he is just – he's not flexible, and he's a slow mover. So –
I don't know. I don't see it.
I don't really see it with him. I don't see him as a day two guy.
I don't either. Yeah. I've pretty much said from last year, Austin Bryant's a day three guy. If you want to talk about the rest of the other guys, go ahead. But in 8.5 sacks last year, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, Austin Bryant, they're going to have 4 first rounders. They might have 1, Farrell. I don't think they'll have
one. Farrell's going to go in the first round. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen.
There's a good chance of that. I always go back to like Harold Landry didn't go in the first round. Like, how's that happen? But I can't do that. You're right. He probably will go in the first
quote
round.
Unquote character concerns. Ugh. Darius Geis didn't go in the first round.
I'd take Austin Bryant over Marlon Davidson.
I actually did not watch Marlon Davidson, so this one's all you, pal.
I'm glad. I think I texted you last night. I was like, dude, I wouldn't waste a lot of time with Marlon Davidson if you're watching these guys. I don't know, man. Like, he's an all right point of attack run defender, but, like, talk about no bend or flexibility. Cornering is just impossible. Yeah, big, stiff guy. You might want to put him inside, really, but I don't know. He doesn't really have that ability to drop his pads very well. Loses a lot of ground on speed rushes because he false steps out of his stance on the edge. He's just not really explosive out of his stance, period. Not really a good change of direction. Just a super limited athlete. Not rangy enough to play on the edge. Too small to play inside. Didn't really impress on his interior rushes. He got opportunities. High pad level and no plan of attack. When he's locked up, it's really game over. So, you know, physical, and it definitely looks to initiate the fight again, but your worst scouting traits, like we said, and really that was the big issue to me with a lot of these guys. I just didn't see great traits. Didn't see him from Sutton Smith, didn't see him from Josh Allen, didn't see him from CeCe or Austin Bryan or Marlon Davidson. And so we're still kind of out here looking, man, who's going to be the pass rushers that emerge? You know, I don't know if there are any other names on your radar. You mentioned some of the Florida guys, but two guys I really want to get to before I wrap up my summer scouting of edge guys. Nick Coe from Auburn, redshirt sophomore. I've heard some good things. I want to make sure I see him.
Auburn's just a factory.
Yeah, they've got some guys. I'm trying to find out if any of them are good. I mean, I know they're big names, but I'm trying to find out if any of them are good. And Jalen Ferguson, who's a redshirt senior now from LA Tech. Trying to see him. I want to see if he's in. Because there's been buzz around him for a while. But oh, and the other guy is Jalen Jelks from Oregon.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, that's our boy Ben Solak's guy. He talks about him a lot. There's a couple other names I'll probably take a look at. Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame. And who was the other guy I was going to... Oh, Porter Gustin from USC. We talked about him some last year. We thought he was coming out last year. I don't think there's a high ceiling there. So, but there's some guys still to take a look at. But definitely waiting for like some other guys to emerge. And I think a guy could pass up Jennings and Jackson and Burns and... maybe even Farrell. Like, I think a guy could get into that top range as an edge. I don't know that I see it as a great edge group right now. I mean, there's Bosa, and I like Sweat's potential. This is a big year for him. Farrell kind of is what he is. And then after that, you know, Gary, again, what is he going to be on the edge or move inside? I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Are we doing top fives tomorrow?
Top fives tomorrow, based on who we've seen so far, top fives. Right. I might watch a couple more guys tonight, so I might have a surprise to throw in the top five for you. Maybe I'll throw one in.
Cool. Nah, cool, man. Just keep me in the dark. That's fine.
If I find a good guy, I'm going to wait till the last possible minute to reveal to you. So you look silly.
You're going to go. Including him. Go, all right, Nick Bosa. And number two, just like come out of nowhere, like some dude from Hawaii or something.
That's what's going to happen. Get yourself ready. I'm going to try and say this Old Dominion guy's name. That's what I'm going to do, actually. Oshani Zimenez, something like that. I'm going to figure it out.
That was a try.
I'm going to figure it out. Say it right tomorrow. And then Friday, John Oning's coming on the show. We're talking about his favorite guys. We'll take some of your questions as well. And then next week, are we talking linebackers? I think we're talking linebackers. Should be fun.
If you want to go in order, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.